halfway through my time at Murfield Theological College, I decided to opt into the Church of England system. And so I was sent off to a selection conference at a retreat house in Northamptonshire with a group of other potential ordinands. And what they did was to break us up into small groups where we had to either do small activities in front of the group or the group had to do something together. And we were watched all the time by the selectors. And from time to time, as individuals, we were pulled out for our interviews. So this went on all weekend and we were duly sent home. And a few weeks later, a letter came to let us know whether we were in or out. Later on, I learnt that the Church of England had borrowed this selection system, the Achim Conference as it was called, from the British Army's officer selection programme, except the potential officers had to do more outdoorsy, vigorous stuff as well. Well, that's only been the beginning of the Church's borrowing techniques from the secular world to recruit its leadership pool. And you know, that's an important thing to do. If possible, you want a leadership pool of talent, of people who have got lots of energy, drive to succeed, boundless self-confidence, and the ability to conceal their fears and lead forth their hopes in front of their people. Well, it's great if you can get people like that, but of course the problem is that they're often people with big egos. And that means that either they may potentially fall into the trap of what we might call entitlitis. I'm doing so much for this organisation that I deserve more in terms of money, or they begin to plunder their organisations. And if people are full of self-confidence, that means also they can be resistant to taking wise advice or criticism and box on with disastrous decisions with momentous consequences. Or worst of all, the exercise of power, and after all, leadership's about persuading people to do things they wouldn't necessarily want to do, can begin to possess you. You enjoy it so much that power itself dominates you with disastrous consequences. So what most organisations do is try to kind of lead out their leaders' desire to excel and try to contain and restrain their egoistic power desire to take over. It's a kind of system of checks and balances, rewards and punishments, carrot and stick, to try and get the best out of their leaders. Well, this morning we heard about a management problem that Jesus is having with his inner circle. You know, in every group, there's an inner group, isn't there? And Peter, James and John are the inner circle within the 12 disciples. They were there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And at first it looked as though Peter was the guy who was numero uno because he recognised Jesus clearly for who he is. But he blotted his copybook badly when he tried to talk Jesus out of his tragic destiny in Jerusalem. So the other two, James and John, sensed their moment and pushed forward with a request that must have taken Jesus' breath away with its naked egoism. In fact, it's so embarrassing that in one of the other Gospels, the Gospel writer has their mother, you know, the pushy Jewish mother, make the request for them. And Jesus must have thought, gee, they haven't been listening to anything I've said about the tragic destiny that awaits me or about the style of servant leadership I expect in this community. And what would have further depressed him is the response of the other disciples. They're dismayed, all right, but not because of, you know, the big egos of those two, but because they got there first with a request we wanted to make on our behalf too. What the inner group are thinking is, well, we're going up to the holy city, something big's about to happen. I'm sure we can talk Jesus out of this business about the tragic destiny, and we want to be in there with the top slots in the corporation when all that happens. So what follows is some very astringent teaching about servant leadership, about how suffering accompanies those who will lead in the church. Perhaps it's no coincidence that Cardinal Heenan called his autobiography a crown of thorns. And you know, I've never known a bishop in my 35 years of ministry whose lot I envied, because it's a ministry of hard decisions, day after day after day. And if you get it wrong, the consequences for the church are momentous. And also, Jesus is saying that it's a waste of time pushing away to the front, because the decisions are a kind of mysterious ones by divine providence and my Heavenly Father as to who are the ones who get to be the really ones who have status and prestige, the one who will be at my right and my left. And suffering always goes with it. And therefore, just change your whole ideas about what's required in this leadership business. And I guess when we think about this, because after all, we all want a pat on the head and a word of thanks. It makes the world go round. And it is nice to be rewarded with a sense of recognition and respect. I think for men especially, that's important in their jobs. And so we have to get our heads around the fact that being a Christian is a countercultural business. It runs counter to the expectations of our society. Think about all of the stringent teaching we've been receiving these last few Sundays. Fidelity, commitment, faithfulness is expected of Christians in their intimacy lives. Wealth accumulation is a very bad idea because it leads to inequalities of status and power in the kingdom. And now this, servant leadership, putting others first, restraining your ego. Who could do this? Who could live like this? We will need God's grace to live like this. To live sitting lightly to power, sex and money, the three most important things in this world, require a constant request for divine grace to change us from within, to make us a microcosm of the kingdom. And if that's too hard, well, what other kind of life is really satisfying? The life that really is life. The life that leads to the world to come. The life that gets us out of all the pitfalls and distresses and upsets of a life dominated by egoism and a desire to dominate others. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.